Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, let us clap for the worship team once again. That was really, really lovely. Teddy, you enjoyed yourself? So did I, yes. Any first-time visitors here today, returning visitors, please put up your hand. Let us welcome you. There is a little one who has put up her hand. I can see someone behind there, but we love you and we shall wave at her. Yes, thank you for coming to visit us. Today, yes, we have the children up here. It's amazing. Hallelujah. It's amazing for us to have the children up here. And yeah, it's. I woke up some at night to. The dogs were barking, but that dream was very serious. Glory to God. And Sam did what he said he usually does. He switched the lights on and off. I was like, damn, like, but this man, he said, actually, let me go and walk around. So I thought he was going to walk around. But realized that if you're going to switch the lights on and off, you have to be in one place. Glory to God. So there was no walking around. He just went to Sam's switch there in another room. Pa, 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 pa. And I was seeing the lights flickering on and off. And I was like, yeah, my husband, the protector. Mukama mlunji. Amen. Yes, but the dogs barked quite a bit. Hallelujah. I thank God. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Did you say that to somebody, not out of religion? Happy Resurrection Sunday. Tell someone, you married people who are here. Tubaman, you don't greet yourselves in the morning. You don't say about what? No, you say it now. Dennis, did you tell Christine Happy Resurrection Sunday? Did you tell? The fastest way to recruit your spouse into lying is saying something like that in public. Then they cannot say, but you didn't say it. Yeah? Oh, you didn't do it. Yes, so glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, today we are going to share, but it's a build-up, yeah, to this day. We are going to share about putting God to remembrance. How many of us were here last week on Sunday and listened to that sermon? Put up your hands. Put up your hands straight so that I can see. And I see how I will navigate myself as I teach. Okay. Thank you. That is most of us. So we are good to go. But before I start, I said putting God to remembrance. Before I start, I told the children this morning while we're having breakfast, I'm going to preach. So of course I have to inform them that there is no children's church. Ah, man, you know, children can disappoint. You could see they were bored. They were like, eh, you're not going to no children's church? As in, they couldn't. No children's church? I'm like, yeah, no children's church. So they're like, but now what are you going to do? Last week, Pastor Moses gave out money. For what are you going to do? Pastor, you put me in problems. Yeah? And this is not fair. So, my boss gave out 10K to the children last week. So my children tell me, Kwezi tells me, but you, mom, you can give out like 1K. I'm like, hey, but my son. I'm like, hey, hey. I'm like, give out 1K. He's like, but how are you going to keep us, what? Engaged. You give out like 1K. Then I'm like, you mean only 1K? He's like, well, if you have more, you can give out more, but you can start with 1K. So children who are here last week, the other week, the ones who got money, where is Raphael? He didn't come today. Oh, Raphael is there. I don't know what I'm going to do for you. I don't know what I'm going to do for you, but children, I'm the children's church pastor. Eh? I'm not the adult church pastor, okay? So we shall do our things down there next Sunday. But for today, please try and pay attention. Parents, work with me. Let's work together. And yeah, let the children pay attention. If the child asks you, what does she mean, please explain the thing to her, to him or her. So that is as far as my 1K. To me, that is 1K. And I've given all of you. Hallelujah. Yes, so last Sunday, I listened to the sermon for last Sunday. And that sermon was not put actually on the website. But I managed to get something from Mark, and I listened to it. And as I listened, towards the end, Pastor shared so deeply. I was really blessed. Now, towards the end, Pastor emphasized, he mentioned something about putting God to remembrance. And for me, that touched me, putting God to remembrance. So I kept on thinking about it from the time I listened to that sermon. Kept on thinking about it and how that is working for my life. You know, like you listen to something and you're like, yeah, that's actually true. And he quoted from Isaiah 43:26. Now, as I thought about it, on Thursday morning, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was here going to share a message. And surprisingly, as I started to share, there was a lot of chaos. Like I could tell, it was so demonic. Now the church was full as it is today, actually even more than what we are today. And I just could feel a demonic presence in church. First of all, the lights went off. You, the parents, started getting up and talking to one another. The children were playing. Then there was a loud noise like thunder. Yeah. So I got so scared and I started saying, oh, guys, hold on. Please, children, pay attention. Adults, help me. At least let me first share and then we shall do these things. Whatever we are doing now, you can do them after. And then the dream ended. Now, I was planning to share the life of two people in the Bible. That's King Hezekiah and the life of Dorcas, who was also known as Tabitha. So that is what I had prepared in the dream. And now before I even went to Hezekiah, that is now when the chaos started. So I got up after the dream. I'm like, maybe I'm not even supposed to share that. Like, maybe it's even demonic because I was really scared. Maybe it's demonic. Maybe it's not of God. And then I sent Pastor the audios. Then later we chatted. And he's like, what do you think? So I told him the two things. I'm on the edge. I feel like I shouldn't share. Maybe the dream wasn't of God. But if the message is of God, if the message is not from God, it's from the devil, then why would he stop me from sharing in that manner with the congregation? So we discussed the dream and we agreed, Pastor and I. Praise the Lord. We agreed, Pastor and I, that dream was from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And now, I think I didn't share it with Sam, so he was asking me, Pastor, what are you going to share? And I'm like, just first leave me. Ndimu, I'm cooking something. Yeah. So it's now from then that now I got confident that, you know what, this is something that we actually have to the church has to hear. Then Thursday when we came, we prayed the usual things, we pushed the usual way. And then even after later, we discussed, again, we went through the dream, yeah? And still Pastor gave me his thoughts. But now, little did I know that later now, when I would actually talk to Pastor, little did I know that today would be an exact representation of what I had in my dream. Part representation of what I had in the dream. And this is why. Before he traveled on Friday, we're talking about who is going to minister today and how things should go. This is Easter. Easter. Not for celebrations like other churches. So I'm like, you know what? Since you're not going to be around, maybe the children can come up. It would be good to have the children upstairs. Mm-hmm. But remember, in my dream, now I'm saying these things to Pastor, and even the dream is not in my mind. But then I'm like, let the children come upstairs. So first of all, I set the scene for the as it was in the dream. Glory to God. But now I'm having this conversation. We are not thinking about having the children upstairs because of the dream. We're like, no, let's just all come and celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday together. Okay? So, on Thursday, now concerning the chaos and all that, I believe that that was dealt with on Thursday. Glory to God. And honestly, with the praise and worship today, there is no chaos that is going to happen here. Hallelujah. But more importantly, we realize that the devil doesn't want you guys to hear this message. And I was on God's case. I was like, why? Like, what is there about these two people? You know, when you dream and you don't really have a two-hour sermon, you're not thinking at that point, what are the details in there, God, that you want me to share? For me, I just dreamt I was going to share about Hezekiah and the life of Dorcas. So at that point, I didn't have the details of what I'm going to share today. And as time went on, that's why I was saying that today is a build-up. So as time went on, I'm like, wait a minute. These two people, what I want to share from, these two people encounter the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. And now we are going to share this. It so happened that I'm going to share this on the Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. Clap for me, Banang. Yeah. You know how you're like, okay, good, now we are starting, yeah? But I really want to thank God. Like, he's not even worthy of being clapped for, yeah? But I want to thank God that he connected that for me. Glory to God. And he has connected it for LAT. Hallelujah. And as time went on, as I was thinking and just talking to God about this, more and more detail came, and now I knew the exact direction I should take for this, the topic for today, bringing God to remembrance. So that is the introduction. That is where we are right now. And I really, really bless God. So why doesn't the devil want you to hear this message? Parents who are here, if the devil is fighting something, just know that it's worth you paying attention to, okay? So I was like, God, why? What is it exactly? And now you will eventually hear how I'll connect it to the push and how this is all connected to LAT 2025. Glory to God. This one I'm very, very confident of. So Isaiah 43:26, let's take it from the Amplified Version. God said, put me in remembrance, remind me of your merits, let us plead and argue together, set forth your case that you may be justified or proved right. Put me in remembrance, remind me of your merit. Okay? Then I connect this to Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. All right? Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together. But now God is saying, put me in remembrance. Come and state your case. Come now, let us reason together. God is calling us to a place, even as we push, God is calling us to a place of dialogue. And he is saying, look, I know you, you're sinful, yeah? So when you're being called to a place of dialogue, it's not like you have earned the right to go and dialogue with God. You're not on his level. So in the prayer meeting on Thursday, I reminded us of what Hebrews 12:22-24 says. And why am I reminding us of these three verses? Because they, in a way, set the foundation for your coming before God and talking to him. For your coming before God and having, you don't talk at God, you talk with God. Glory to God. That is what prayer is. You don't talk at God, you talk to God. Prayer is really conversation with God. It's not conversation at God. You don't come and tell God, God, you told us this. No, it is that back and forth conversation. So Hebrews 12:22-24 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the great assembly, to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. All right? So now here we see that when we come to God, it is not really... Even when he says, come and let us reason together. Come, tell me your merits. Why? As in, what are your points? Zoziriwa. Elet, where are your points? It's not that we have, in a sense, yes, we have earned the right to speak to God, but it is not what ushers us into a relationship with God. We must remember, even as we push, when God says, come and let us reason together, it is not that now you're what? Like you trust in your own works. It's not works or performance-based. It's purely... We come to this heavenly Jerusalem purely by the sprinkling of the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. So you're not going to accomplish anything in push if you don't appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ. When you're dialoguing with God about where LHC should be in 2025, it is not really about what we have done, how holy we are. And yes, we have received commendation reports from God about how well we are doing. And we can use those things. And those are the things we are going to discuss today. But what we should remember is, first and foremost, what gives us a right standing before God is Jesus Christ. That one thing that we have been seeing about today. We are not perfect. Yeah? We are not perfect. We are not like sinless perfection that now we should come before the Lord. Even if we did everything right, our righteous acts are still filthy rags. But do they count? Yes, God wants to hear them. Hallelujah. Amen. So why should we put God to remembrance? Why should we remind God, Alana? Do you think God forgets? God doesn't forget. But then now he's telling us that, remind me. Put that 43:26 up. Put me in remembrance. Does that mean that God forgets? No, God doesn't forget. God doesn't sleep, no slumber. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't forget his word. We hear all those things. But why is he telling us to remind him? First and foremost, when you remind God of his word, you are reminding yourself. The more you talk about the things that God has said he's going to do, the more you talk about them, the more faith rises in your heart. Faith is voice activated. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So even as you say these things to God, you're actually saying them to yourself. It is more for yourself because God does not forget his word. But as we say those things, as we speak them, as we repeat the dreams, and the words of commendation that have come over the years, let me tell you, faith rises on the inside. Glory to God. That is one of the ways we keep connected to the promises of God. So then how do we bring him to remembrance? Now let's go to the life of Hezekiah, yeah, which is what I was sharing in the dream. 2 Kings 20 verses 1 to 6. Let's see this guy, this great king. In those days, King Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then the king, he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up. Hallelujah, it's Resurrection Sunday. Listen to this. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Jesus rose on the third day. Yeah? And I will add to your years 15, to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Hallelujah. Such a powerful prayer. Yeah? Such a powerful prayer. Children, the king was sick. He was going to die. When I researched, the Bible says, not the Bible, but from research, he had a very, very, very bad boil on him. And maybe this boil could have been healed, but I don't know why God told him that he wasn't going to heal him, he was going to die. So God sends his word by a mighty prophet, a mighty man of God, to tell him, forget it, you're going to die, you're not going to get healed. You're going to die. So organize yourself. Can you imagine? Oria, can you imagine? Yeah, so, and the king says, I'm going to die? No. He turns his head towards the wall, meaning he faced the wall. Maybe he was surrounded by his advisors, people were there, people catering for him. And because you're a king, you're going to cry, you're going to die, you've just received this message. And probably, like in the king's chamber, for me, I drew a picture of, maybe his advisors were there, the health experts were there, the biggest doctors were also there. And in walks this prophet and says, Neda, you are going to die. Put your house in order. And this king said, what? I'm going to die? So the reason why I think he turned his face to the wall was maybe he didn't want people to see him crying. So the king, that mighty man of God, turns to the wall and he prays a prayer. And he tells God, remember now. Remember, O Lord God, what I did. Yeah? And before the prophet leaves the premises, the king's, the palace, he gets another word from God. No, you go back and tell him he's going to live. And you know what? Not just live. On the third day, you see, there is telling you that you're going to live, and you have to go through like 7 rounds. If it was a cancerous tumor, you have to go through like 7 rounds of chemo. No, it wasn't that. It is on the third day, you're going to get up from that bed. And then he tells him, for my sake, who? You see, the way God answers Hezekiah, he doesn't answer him on things concerning him himself. He says, no, for the sake of my servant, who? David. I'm going to let you live. That's number one. I'm giving you 15 more years. Number two, I am going to protect this city from the king of Assyria, who had for a very long time, because at that time, King Hezekiah was a king of Judah. So there was this king of Assyria who would always fight against, and he was so powerful, and every town, every city he would fight against, those kings of Assyria, they were quite a number. But those Assyrian kings were deadly. They would always conquer. That even previously, before even Hezekiah got sick, the Bible, when you go back, when we back up to his life, he even received a letter one day from the king of Assyria telling him, you just surrender. I tell you, don't be there saying that your God is going to save you. I am coming for your city, Judah. And he told him, that business of you saying that your God is going to save you, all the cities I have conquered, have their God saved them? So now for you, what makes you think that your God is going to save you? So he tells him, Nzija, just organize yourself. I'm coming. You know what Hezekiah did? He got the letter. A king, a man of war, who had conquered before. This time he didn't call his security meeting. That's in 2 Kings 18. He got the letter, took it. I imagine he put it under his word in his cloak, and he just marched straight to the temple. When he reached there, the Bible says he knelt down, got this letter which was sent to him, and laid it before God, and said, God, You see what these guys are saying. Can you imagine a king who should be coming up with how to fight these guys, put your army in order, call your army commanders, start organizing, you know, the garrison for Judah, start organizing. The guy, the first thing he did was say, he has not just challenged me, he has challenged God. So he took the letter to God and said, you read it for yourself. In other words, that is my interpretation. But he was, when you let the things, you say, Laba, you read it for yourself, God. You see, this one is saying that you cannot even be able to save. And God, through still the same prophet who tells him that he's going to live, gives him a good message that, you don't worry. Yeah, these guys are nothing. I'm going to finish them. Glory to God. And now the king went back with what? With confidence. Now he had gotten the military strategy from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So now coming to his life, this is a king who knew how God can come through for you, for him. He had experienced him. He knew something about God. He knew something about the ways of God. So he turns to the wall after he's told he's going to die. He turns to the wall and he says, remember, remember, Jukira Mukama. Now, let me first give you the CV of Hezekiah. Maybe you may be saying, maybe Hezekiah was about what? Let us read his CV. This one, I put it here, Hezekiah's CV. Let's go to 2 Kings 18, verses 1 to 7. We are going to look at this, and it's going to show us what he was asking God to remember about him. All right? So, and now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was how many years? 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned how many? 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name, his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. His mother's name was? Someone should have got that video. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now we are starting. Now, this is what King Hezekiah did. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it that name. He trusted in the Lord, God of Israel, so that after him, the Bible says, there was no one like him among all kings of Judah, nor were there before him. All right? For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered him whenever he went, and he rebelled against the king of what? Assyria, and did not serve him. So now you see why the king of Assyria wanted him, because the man rebelled against him, but Assyria said, I'm coming for you. That king was like, for me, I'm coming, what? For you. But this is the man's CV. If now he was 25 years old when he started, when he became king, and he ruled for 29. How many years? How old was he when he died? It's 25 plus 29, which is 54. But now let us look at the prophetic word that God gave him. God tells him that you are going to live. I'm adding 15 years. So at what age did he probably receive this prophetic word about his death? That's 54 minus 15. So around 39. How many people here above 39? Yes. There are just 5 people. So you guys, just imagine. But Lydia, you didn't put up your hand. Miriam, Mr. Kalibala and Kulaba, even Mama didn't put up her hand. Judith, let me call them. Judith is not, eh? Okay. No, we have to tell the truth. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Rachel, Mark, they are below 39. Helen, they are below 39. Okay. I am the one who. So you can imagine. A man at 39 years old, a king at 39 years old. You've just ruled for probably 14 years. Then this man comes, you get sick. And then this man comes and tells you you're going to die. You have seen how the people who are bold enough to put up their hands, you have seen that now those ones, the people who put up their hands from Sam onwards, yeah? They now for them, they are not what? No, me, I'm also under 39. So those ones, yeah? Those ones are past the mark I'm trying to draw for us, okay? So you can imagine, you know, 39, you haven't really done anything much. Yeah? You haven't done anything much. At 39, think about yourself, people who are above 39. Where were you when you were 39? You had barely done really much for yourself. Yeah? But now here, the prophet Isaiah is the prophet, you guys. Isaiah was this is the man of God who prophesied the coming of the Messiah. The entire book of Isaiah, he was a kafuru. How could you now go against his word after he has spoken? He's the one who came and told you when you went to pray in the temple. He's the one who came and told you, I've got a word from you. As in meaning, you trust prophet Isaiah's what? Word from the Lord. He's not trying to survive being a prophet. He's not checking the waters. He has already established himself that he is a prophet to you. But Hezekiah, even receiving that word from God, what made him turn and say, God, something can change. Okay? It's because, let me tell you, and this is the place I was trying to draw us to, that we have to remember that the things that we do, even if the actions, righteous living, walking on in obedience, even if they don't get us a right standing before God, God honors righteousness. God honors obedience. God honors your giving. God honors all these things, your service to him. God sees it and he honors it. And in your day of trouble, that service to him, what you're doing could save your life. Glory to God. In that day, it could revive you. So this guy turned and he knew that he had been commanded, for you to be a king in Israel, you had to actually know the books. You had to know the Torah, yeah? So you had to know the Torah and you had to know the prophets. You had to know those things. So King Hezekiah knew from the time in Deuteronomy when God had given the Israelites a commandment that when you go, when you do and you obey my word, to your days I will add years, I will multiply you, I will give you posterity. He knew this about God. And the man saw himself and he said, no. Watching end up at this age. Why? And he turns and he says, God, remember that word. Remember that word. And then you also knew the promises that God had given his father, David. And that is why when God answers him, he tells him, for my sake, for my own name, and for the sake of my servant, not even he himself. All right? So what does this mean to us, LAT, when we are pushing? Yes, you didn't get the dream about jacaranda blossoming. So we can see that by Isaiah's example, you can't say, Beba mujimba beba abidota, like I've heard those things. Yeah? Those things are for pastor. Kalotera. Now, no. You can be as we push, yeah, we can go to God and we have that dialogue with him. And we tell him no. Remember God when we got the commendation reports. Remember, by your servant who did X, Y, Z. Now, it's so good. The reason why I asked who was there in the last sermon was because during that sermon, Pastor not only shared the dreams, but he also shared the context and how the dreams were coming. So when we share these things with us, it's not just for you to hear that on 19th September 2023, I had this dream. What was the context and how did the dream come? Okay, so that when you're having dialogue with God, you go to him and you tell him, Pastor Moses was fasting. And you, after his 3-day fast, God showed him that this and this is going to happen. Now remember that word. You didn't dream. So imagine like you're like Hezekiah. The promise wasn't given to you. It was given to your father. It was given to Pastor. But it's okay for you to go before God and quote and say, but God, you say, because here we come and we sing, give and it shall be given back to you. A measure, press down, shaken together, running over. Da, 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 yeah. And then you cast your seed. But it will not do you any good if you do not now, when you're in a very hard time. You must be able to quote some of those things. On Thursday, I shared a testimony, and these are things that were going through my mind when I was listening to the sermon. How have I brought God to remembrance? For me, it wasn't the first time. But what I remember vividly was one day I was in the study and I at home. I was in one of the rooms at home, and I was broke. I needed money for something. Then I'm like, but God, I have prayed all prayers. Then I'm like, but you know what? Now I'm going to quote back your word to you. Know what I did? Because I know the scriptures, I went and I'm like, God, now it's time to make you remember things. So I started quoting all my the scriptures about giving. I quoted them, but I also went ahead and reminded God of the days He had instructed me to give and had walked in obedience. If you know, those some of the things that we do, we pay. You pay. Some of those things are really painful, and you do them sacrificially. Let me tell you, when you do that and it's your star and God is like, yeah, Geraldine, you've done such a good thing, get that star and keep it. You do not know when you're going to need to serve it back to God. So I'm like, you know what? No, God, remember when I gave, that day I didn't have money. I didn't. Then you told me in a dream to give so and so this money. And that money, yes, thank you, you provided it. And I didn't walk in disobedience. I got all the money as it was, and I gave it. And then I even had to look for tithe to give on that money. Yet I had given all of it. I told God, that is number one. Number two, God, do you remember when I sowed seed in this part? You know, I started reminding God of those things. I'm like, but God, do you remember my service in LAT? We say that we are prosperous. There is no financial depression in our lives. What about my service in LAT? Will I be me all the time? Let me tell you, as I was speaking those things, remember I was broke, yeah? I didn't have money for a particular need. So I'm like, as I was speaking those things, I felt faith rising. By the time I was done, even my phone was like those things. By the time I was done, I went to my phone, checked, and I'd received 1 million shillings. I'm like, God, this progression was very quick. Hey! Hey! So I'm not telling you things I have not done. I do these things. And yes, I pray in tongues. But when I'm dialoguing with God, my Father, you guys, yes, we talk in tongues. But there are sometimes when you need to know the things you're saying and know those things of believing Him for interpretation. I am going to talk to God in my mother tongue, reminding Him of all these things that I have done. And I'm like, let me see now your word coming to pass. Glory to God. So, LAT, when we are pushing, there are so many. That sermon is not on, last Sunday's sermon is not on the internet. But all the dreams that were in that sermon are on the internet. And if you have them, at least I know 3/4 of the dreams are there. And if you want a particular dream, you can ask Pastor, he will send it to you. If you're really, really serious about pushing for LAT 2025. Glory to God. Amen. So, I got money that day. I don't know if I've got money like that again. If it has been that fast, like Hezekiah, 3 days, yeah? Chap, chap, eh? Hezekiah prays before even the man leaves the premises of the king. Ah, whatever comes. But you know the principle is the same. Whether things come immediately or not, but the principle is the same. We should always remind God of the commendation reports He has given us and how they came. Don't just say the dream. That is really not being serious, LAT. LAT 2025, we are crossing with you serious people. Hallelujah. And if we are serious, we are going to take to God some of these matters and say, but God, you said that we broke the back of poverty, we wrote the dream. By the way, I tell God like that. I'm like, God, we've been, I have read that dream. What in the year 2000, when Pastor was in fifth year, he received, you guys, even in my Bible there, that chapter, I wrote Pastor Moses' name there. I brought Pastor Lay's name. Lucky, good enough. I remember Pastor Lay from LTV. Lay, yes, but in my book I wrote him as Lay, L-A-Y. So I'm like, you told him, David said about his son that, yes, you're going to build for me a temple, even if Solomon is inexperienced. Then I tell God that, but God, we have some experience. 10 years is not nothing serving in this city, you know. So I'm like, God, cut to inexperience now. What should delay us in this phase? I don't seem to see it. Yeah? And these are the things I tell God. When Pastor is telling us those things of, like, his journey, it is not just kawozi. It is not for our hearing pleasure, yeah? No, it is that you make you in. I remember, I think, when I was still going to Watoto Church, vision, those are vision months. Man, we would always, downtown, city, Kampala. God told Gary Skinner to go to downtown, Kampala. You guys, imagine having, I remember those were, now looking back, I really see we're just not serious. Yeah, but now being in a place of leadership and a pastor, now I understand why those things had to be repeated, the vision and how it came and the steps. And he said he came to Kampala with nothing. The roads were about what? Wait, you guys, yeah? So now I know why he was saying those things. Glory to God. It's not just that he was sent to downtown Kampala. It is everything that concern that is surrounding the message. Yeah? So when you're engaging God, when you're asking him to remember, when you're dialoguing with God, you have to, just like though you dialogue with your friend, you don't just come and say, Chino, no. You give them points. I think for us women, we're even very good at that. Because we don't forget. Hallelujah. We do not forget. Damn, we don't forget. We don't forget. We remember. We will remember. Tujabijukira. Say on this day, I even remember where we were. Eh? When you told me, I asked you this. We were at a men have selective amnesia. For them, they don't remember. They don't. Eh? They don't remember. Hey, that is why you force us to quote even where we were when we were driving. Because I'm telling you, I'm like, how can you forget this? But you're there saying, me, I don't remember anything. We were kana. No, you forced me to quote even how you were driving, what you were wearing, the shoe, everything I'll quote for you. I'll say, and then when I asked you this, this is what you told me, Sebo. Kakati. And then when they are caught pants down, they're like, maybe I said it, but maybe. Those are, then you hear, those are yours. After now, you at that point, you know that what? That they have been defeated when they say those are yours. So, we need to remind God. Where? Eh? Even concerning LHC, we need to remind God. Eh? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to remind God. Bring him to remembrance. Have dialogue with him. Now, why should we pray? Why should we remind God again? We have a dream. I was looking through our dreams that we've had over the years. And one dream stood out. And that dream was amazing. Like, I didn't know I would even share it today. But I'm going to read that dream. Because we are going to have a session at the end where we are reminding God. And for us to do this, I can't take you guys for granted that you will remember. So I'm going to read the dream. It's eating into my time, but for what we have to do at the end, I have to do this, okay? I know there are people who know that dream of, you know, and those ones. So this one is not for you, but even for the sake of the children who are here, yeah? This was Pray Until Something Happens, Part 6, Word for the Week. So Pastor shares with us Word for the Week, in the Word for the Week, where he had been praying and fasting for 3 days about LAT by 2025. And at the end of his fast, God told him to remember, to remember a certain dream he was given in 2023. On 18th, either 18th or 19th September. And this is the dream that God, now God is always telling his servant, remember. It's on the other way around. The servant is there praying and saying, and God is like, it's your turn to remember. Me, I haven't forgotten. But now you remember, okay? So, this is the dream that God told him to remember, and he shared it in the Word for the Week. When he says, I was a father in the dream that was had September 2023, 18th. I was a father to a very beautiful girl of about 6 months. She was sick and was dying. She was critically ill, and Bambi, she was going to die. And actually, the doctors had told me that her condition was hopeless and she had to die in a few hours. A male relative of mine a male relative I was with left me to go and run an errand. I remained holding this baby against my shoulder as I walked about, knowing that these were my very last moments with her. Although it saddened me to know that she was dying quietly on my shoulder, I could do nothing about it other than holding her to myself before she passes on. My male relative returned and put his arms out to receive and carry the baby. As I handed the baby over to him, I looked into her eyes, and indeed, she was what? Like King Hezekiah, she was going to die. All right? And, but to my shock, she suddenly came alive, and I wanted us to let go of her. When we put her on her feet, I was amazed to see that she was no longer the 6-month-old baby. She was now my daughter Eden when she was about 8 years old. Seeing that she was a little weak, we tried holding her lest she falls. However, she insisted of being let go of completely. We let go of her, and she walked by herself to the bathroom. So Pastor gives us the interpretation again. He says, by this dream, God is telling us, LAT, that naturally speaking, LAT, the church he caused him to birth, right? How many years ago? When did we start? 2014. Yes. The church which he caused me to birth should be dead and off the scene in a short while. However, this will not happen. On the contrary, LAT will grow very big numerically because 2025 is around the corner. When I read this dream, I knew. What made this baby come alive? It is the prayers of the saints. Glory to God. If this baby is LAT, and we believe the interpretation of the dream, it is your prayers that will revive this baby during this time of push. Glory to God. And as we push, today is the Resurrection Sunday. We are going to believe for the resurrection power of Christ to touch LAT, to revive us. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are going to pray. So maybe none of those things of the devil doesn't want us to pray. No, it's not going to happen. We are going to pray about it. Amen. Glory to God. So we have a dream. I've told us that is our assignment at the end. Let me now share from the life of Dorcas, Acts 9, 36 to 42. We shall go back to that dream. Okay? Dorcas, Tabitha. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good... Why don't we name our children Dorcas? This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her and laid her in the upper room, And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics, the garments, the clothes, in other words, children, which Dorcas, who had died now, had made while she was still alive. But Peter put them all out, knelt and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Again, we see someone who had died. Tabitha, died, gone. At least, okay, Hezekiah, you can say, John, Hezekiah, ya cha inamu, like we say, bachiga umuisio, ya inamu breath. But now, Tabitha had died. It had been confirmed. All the things that have to do, the rituals that have to do with how to treat someone who has died, had been performed on her body. And she had been put in the upper room, dead. But then when Peter came, guess what the widows were doing? They were crying and telling Peter, showing him. The Bible says she was a widow, good of charitable deeds, full of charitable deeds. And now they were showing him even the clothes, the things that she had been making. Atabananga when a widow cries, also you have to have a heart of stone not to turn and say bambi. I think the widows just overwhelmed Peter. And he went to God and said, God? But there's something that we should know about Tabitha. Tabitha was a disciple. She was a believer. Okay? So now, Peter hears and is like, God, we can get a better judgment than this. I don't know why, but maybe she had been sick for a long time. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. All it says starts with, can you imagine starting your life? We used to be like this, and your life starts with a death and ends with a life. Said, there was such and such a man, yari a food day. I'm like, man, at least we should have started. Wow, all the things, what, children? But you see, what happened to Tabitha is what we are going to pray about. We are going to pray for the resurrection power to touch us, just like the resurrection power touched Tabitha and brought her back to life. We are going to pray in that specific dream. Yes, there are so many, and I implore us, I encourage us, in your free time, just get one dream. Be random as it may be. Just get one of the dreams and talk to God about it. And so that when we are in LAT 2025, nga we are big, we are what, you know that now you contributed something. Glory to God. That now also you are part of the people who prayed seriously. Glory to God. So, because of the charitable deeds that Tabitha had done, full of great, beautiful deeds, because of that, even Peter was like, we cannot lose this person. He goes and he tells God, give us a better judgment. And Tabitha is given another lease on life. Glory to God. Amen. So, today is Resurrection Sunday. Two people experience, one in the Old Testament, another in the New Testament. Thankfully, at this time, the Lord had already resurrected. So they experienced the resurrection power of Christ. And today we are going to stand in that, concerning that dream. If we are dead, then the delay doesn't need to happen. If we are wiped off the scene, if LAT is not there, then the delay won't even have to happen. So for me, I see it as, if we don't pray against that death, then we don't even have to pray against any delay, a face being shot, as in the devil wants to just preempt any other thing or anything, like even stop them from praying about the delay, just wipe them out. But God has told us, I'm going to revive you. But we know that reviving us is not just going to come, because he has also told us that pray until something happens. Hallelujah. I believe that that child, as Pastor was carrying that child, in that dream, which was LAT, what brought those children, that child to life, was the prayers of none other than the LAT people. Twe sabida, and we came back to life. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is what we are going to do. That is what we are going to do. Amen. And I think right now it's about time, Esther. As Esther prepares herself, in all this, let us remember that we have an oath from God, that whatever he has promised us, whatever he has promised us, God swore 29th October 2019, feels like yesterday, God swore to us that in multiplying, he'll multiply us. We have an oath. It's a sworn oath. And it pleases the Lord to do his will. Okay? So, I want us to pray today with that knowledge that, first of all, we have an oath, so we are not praying like you don't have the backing. The backing is the oath. It is there. But specifically today, let us rise to our feet and we tell God, we speak life into LAT. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you're led to pray in tongues, please pray in tongues. If you're led to pray in your mother tongue, please pray in your mother tongue. But let us dialogue with God concerning that specific issue of revival. Today is Resurrection Sunday, and I believe the grace is available to handle this matter. Hallelujah. Let us rise to our feet.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.